Our guest today is Jeff Down, who is curator of the Rare and Historic Books Collection at the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons here in Melbourne. We're sitting in the very impressive council room of the college, and behind Jeff is the collection that he'll be doing a presentation of for during Melbourne Rare Book Week later in July. Hello, Jeff, and thank you for your time today.
Pleasure.
Tell me a little bit about the collection behind us and why it's worthy of a presentation.
Well, the collection you see behind you on both sides of the door is the Cowlishaw collection. It was assembled by Leslie Cowlishaw, who was a Sydney physician.
Yep.
He wasn't a surgeon, he was a physician. Between about 1906, when he graduated, till his death in 1943, he assembled it with a view to demonstrating the evolution of medicine.
Right.
So it's not a surgical collection, and it's broader than medicine because it demonstrates how medicine evolved, first out of witchcraft and mumbo-jumbo into an art, and then from an art into a science.
So he wasn't a surgeon. How did this collection end up with the College of Surgeons?
A lot of it was fortuitous, because Cowlishaw was the librarian at the Royal College of Physicians in Sydney, and he intended the collection to go to that college. But the College of Physicians had only been founded in 1939. So in 1943, it was a very young college, and in the middle of the war, they simply didn't have the resources to
right.
take it. So Cowlishaw offered them the first right of refusal, but he died in December 1943. And that was close to Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and there were a lot of people, servicemen, coming home on R&R for Christmas. And one of those servicemen was Ken Russell, who was at that point a trainee of the college, but he then went on to become a professor of anatomy at Melbourne University, one of our greatest medical historians, and the editor of the Journal of Surgery for many, many years. So this was maybe his first great contribution to the college. That everyone knew about Cowlishaw's collection. It was regarded as the finest private collection of historic medical books in Australia
right.
at the time. And they knew that it was supposed to go to the College of Physicians, but the College of Physicians said no. So it went on to the open market. Ken Russell was in Sydney at that time visiting his father, who was ill at that time, and he heard that Cowlishaw's collection was on the market. So he wrote a letter to the college and to the college secretary saying, Cowlishaw's collection is on the market. Do we do? The secretary of the college, who was also a serviceman on R&R at the time, just happened to be in the college because at the time, so again, serendipity. He got the letter and he immediately phoned Sir Alan Newton, president of the college at the time. And also, Sir Alan was the chair of the procurement of all medical supplies for the Australian forces during World War II.
Right.
And he was a very decisive character. He was at his holiday house at Shoreham, and Gordon Wheeler, the secretary of the college, phoned him and said, Cowlishaw collection on the market, what do we do? And Newton just said, buy it. Don't care how much it costs, just buy it. So it was bought.
How much for, do you know?
They paid £2,750 for it, and by the time they crated it all up and freighted it down to Melbourne, it cost close to £3,000 to the college.
Which was a handy handful in those days.
That's right.
Yeah.
You could buy a house for £3,000
yeah.
in those days. So that gives you some idea of what the collection was worth. And rather than see it broken up, that was the best thing for it to happen to it. So it came down here. And it remained unpacked because there was nobody around during the war. There wasn't the staff to do anything. So it remained unpacked for some time. But at the next council meeting in February, Newton, as president of the college, put up a motion that the college was going to buy the Cowlishaw collection, which the council instantly agreed to. So it was a decision of executive presidency, which you probably couldn't get away with today, but it proved a stroke of genius. And so Professor Russell went on to catalogue and look after it for many years.
And how many books in the collection?
About 2,000 volumes.
Right. Ranging from what sort of dates?
The earliest book we've got is 1483, and the last one is about early 1940s.
What's the prize of the collection? Is it that earliest one?
There are many great things in this collection. We've got a second edition of Vesalius.
Wow.
Which is supposed to be the best one. Cowlishaw never managed to get a first edition. They were rare even in his day.
Yeah.
But he was collecting at a time when you could pick up old medical books for very reasonable prices.
Mm-hmm.
And he established contacts with people like Rappaport in Rome, Michael Voynich in London, a whole range of very prominent antiquarian booksellers. So he had a real network of people who could inform him of when this stuff could come out. And he was very astute in the way he went about his collecting. So he got a second edition of Vesalius. We got a first edition, the Editio Princeps of Hippocrates. We've got the earliest book we've got is Celsus. One of the books in that rare collection of incunabula, that is books printed before 1500,
mm-hmm.
Is actually a printer's proof. It's got little printer's marks down the side. And I first looked at it, and I thought, oh, it's just marginal notes. When you look carefully about it, it's actually corrections to where
Fantastic.
People got things wrong in the typesetting.
Terrific.
We've got books here which we know there's only one or two copies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a Remelin, the microcosm of the world, which is about the body, which is the microcosm.
Yep.
And it's a set of fold-out plates published by Moxon in English, a German translation into English, it was printed in 1765, the second edition. We only know of two copies that have survived, this one and the one in the Royal Society of Medicine Library in London. There's
wow.
only two left because they were fold-outs. And when people looked at them and kept folding the paper out, of course, they felt apart. And so once that happened, they were all thrown away. Only two of them have survived.
And all in good condition, are they?
No, in various conditions.
Yeah.
Some are in good condition. Others, I have a quality hand book binder to do the work on the books that need doing. But I've said to him, because his work is very slow and very painstaking, and takes anything up to 2 years to do a volume. He's got one at the moment. I've said to him, look, there's 1,000 years worth of work here for you. And it's quite literally true. There is about 1,000 years worth
wow.
of for
yeah.
one bookbinder. I'd need an army to fix it completely. But I have instituted a program of phase boxing for the books. So that all the Cowlishaw collection now is that all those bindings that need binding are in phase boxes, so they won't deteriorate any further.
Fantastic.
And so we can take our time and get to them.
Is it possible to even value the collection now? Is it priceless?
No. We have a discussion with the college's insurers every year about how much is it worth.
Yeah.
And so we don't know. Because in the end, this sort of collection is a collector's collection.
Yes.
And collectors go to auctions,
yep.
and you can only tell what the value of a book is when someone sticks up their hand and buys it, and that is the current
yeah.
market value.
Yeah.
And some of the books in this collection, there hasn't been a copy on the market, as far as I can tell, for 20 or 30 years.
Wow, beautiful. How long have you been curating the collection?
About 10 years.
Have you had a chance to look at all of the books?
No, not all of the books. I'm halfway through this side.
All those treasures to look forward to.
That's right.
That's fantastic. Thank you for your time today.
It's a pleasure.